So as we come together, I'll invite us to open our hearts to the scripture. Every week we pray this prayer for illumination. It invites us to allow the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our minds so that we can hear what it is that God is saying to us today. Despite what I might say or what you might hear, it gives us eyes and ears and hearts to receive. So let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Amen. Ms. Kathy shared, today's text is from the lectionary. As you can see the green up here, we are back in what you would call ordinary time, which doesn't mean that it's boring or bland. It's ordinary as in ordinal. It is the number of weeks since Pentecost, and we will be in ordinary time through till Christ the King Sunday, which is around Thanksgiving. And so it is a time for us to continue to learn and to grow, hence green. Party trick, if any of y'all are going to 4th of July, you can say, you know what my pastor taught me this week. So today's text is from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, the first 14 verses. After these things, God tested Abraham. God said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer Isaac there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father! And Abraham said, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. God said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your spirit that is joining us here this day, for this place that we can come and receive a word from you. I ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Liliana is sitting at lunch in downtown Manhattan. She's having a meal with a couple of coworkers, and she receives a call, and she stands up to take it. She goes outside, and she picks up the phone, and she's responding to your friend and says, "I've gotten your text, and I've been trying to reach you." And almost cutting her off, Stacy asks, "Are you my friend?" "You're my best friend," Liliana replies. "Get on a plane. I need you." Stacy's voice is shaky as she's driving down bumpy Montana road. Liliana answers, "Text me the address, and I will be there first thing in the morning." This clip is making the rounds on TikTok and Instagram with the caption, "Everyone needs a best friend." The next scene, Liliana appears. Stacy is broken down. She's devastated. Her husband has recently died after their family relocated from New York to Madison Falls River, Montana. She is bereft and can hardly stand. And Liliana comes running to her, and they embrace. She's just sobbing, and she says, "I'm your best friend." And Stacy is just so overcome, she can hardly speak. In the next scene, Stacy is sort of sitting in a lake, just staring off in the distance. And Liliana walks up to the edge of the lake, and she's got a shawl on. She sort of sighs, and she starts stepping into the water. And she goes, "You know, these pants are Chanel." And it sort of breaks Stacy out of this, you know, whatever spirit she's in, and makes her chuckle. And the absurdity of it, you know, really hits home, because, of course, a friend would do literally anything, including ruin expensive pants, to be right at the side of someone who is at their greatest point of need. You know, as with good shows, there's incredible cinematography. It makes you want to go right now to Montana yourselves. And there's sort of this gentle music undergirding, and it evokes within you this feeling of, wow, to be loved like that. Perhaps you would wonder, who would I call if I was at my deepest point and I needed someone who could be there right next to me? Or perhaps you'd wonder, who might call you? And of course, you would do anything that you could to come to the side of someone in such brokenness and pain. The reality is that, I looked this up, to go from Manhattan to Madison Falls, Montana, you would have to fly out of Newark for it to be less than $1,000 for a flight. And you'd have to fly in, take a change of planes through Salt Lake City and get to WYS Airport. And then you'd have to rent a car and drive 90 minutes north. And so the reality of such a situation is a bit far-fetched. But in a show, it makes for really good entertainment. Does anyone have a streaming service or five? Yeah. So we enjoy sitting back and being in a place of being entertained. Riveting storylines that are a bit far-fetched. Today, the story is a little less bolstered by nice aesthetics and beautiful cinematography, because we hear that Abraham is called to from God, and he has to get up and grab some supplies and grab his son and these other young men, and they just start walking and walking. It says, on the third day. Now, some of this may have brought echoes of Jesus carrying the cross in the third day. So there's echoes of Jesus' own life and passion, God's only son. Isaac is Abraham's only son. So for those of you who haven't checked out Genesis in a little while, I'll catch you up on where we are. Genesis is in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible. We've had Adam and Eve. We've had Noah. where God chooses to flood the entire earth, and then there is a rainbow, and God makes a promise that never again will I flood the entire earth. And God makes a new covenant with Abraham. Has anyone not heard of Abraham? My husband, he's like, who's Abraham? I'm like, you haven't heard of Abraham? But for those of you who don't know, Abraham is considered the father of many nations. Abraham was told that if you follow me, if you go to the land that I will show you, your descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky. Which is hard to believe because his wife is old and she is barren. She cannot have children. And in fact, when she is visited by angels and told that she will have children, she does what? She laughs. Yeah. And then she gets in trouble for laughing. But it is. It's hard to believe that I, Abraham, will be the father of many nations. And so then they have a son, and his name is Isaac. And then God tells him, Isaac, I want you to take your son, your only son, and offer him as a burnt offering. It is a perplexing story. It is rich with calls for immense sacrifice and trust and obedience and humility. So in Genesis 22, verses 4 to 5, the term for this is called the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. And so he puts Isaac on the altar. It calls for a burnt offering, which is a complete and total offering. In previous days, people would bring animals and herbs and things that part of it would go and be burnt, and part of it would go to the priests of the temple that would accept it as a sacrifice. This was calling for a complete sacrifice of Abraham's only son. As we look at the text, it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place that God was calling him to go to. It was far away. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Did you notice that? We will come back. He knew that his son would not ultimately be sacrificed. So Abraham knew that God would either provide a lamb, as was said, or that his son would be killed, be raised from. Either way, he trusted that God would bring this call to sacrifice to an acceptable resolution. And still, we have this incredibly dark scene that our children's minister didn't even really want to preach about, which I understand. There were trigger warnings to use this text with kids in church, which is maybe why many of the kids are not here today. But God did require Abraham to ascend this mountain. There was no accompanied music. There wasn't a beautiful backdrop that we're told about. It just describes them walking and carrying wood and carrying fire and walking with a donkey. Eugene Peterson, I spoke about him earlier with Miss Sue. He is the author of The Message translation, if you're familiar with that. He is an author and theologian, and he wrote a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Discipleship in an Instant Society. And the title for that book came actually from Friedrich Nietzsche, a German philosopher in the late 19th century. And his quote is, the essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction. Discipleship in an instant society. How many of us like instant results? Is Kathy still in here? Did she leave? Because this actually is about waiting, believe it or not. I was wondering how she tied this in there. So we will celebrate that discernment that she had. But discipleship doesn't happen just when we want it to, and then we've achieved what God has for us, and we just enjoy this life. Discipleship is a long slog. Has anyone tried to get in shape? Like every January? At least the first couple of weeks. It takes 21 days to form a habit, but it takes time. It takes discipline. It takes many variables to control, and you still might not get there. And yet, we are called to be faithful. The title of the sermon and our prayers today come from Micah, who is a prophet. Micah chapter 6, and this might be a familiar verse for many of you. God has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you: to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. The choir and I were singing earlier. Has anyone heard that song? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? To seek justice and love kindness, walking humbly with your God. These are not really flashy tasks that God is calling us to. In fact, if you go to Micah 6, I encourage you later today, with what should I approach the Lord, it says in verse 6, and bow down before God on high? Should I come before God with entirely burned offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? So I teased about my husband earlier. He grew up Catholic, and as I'm learning from my Catholic in-laws, there's not as focus on the Old Testament, because God is often depicted angry, and there's lots of righteous and justice and fire and brimstone, and it's easy to look more to Jesus, who gives his life so that we might have a life and have it abundantly. And so it's harder to understand this God love. But it's this God that is calling us to shape our lives in a way that isn't about big and flashy actions, but instead about regular and consistent steps. There's a passage from this book, The Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It says, "Feelings are important in many areas, but completely unreliable in matters of faith. We live in what one writer has called the age of sensation. We think that if we don't feel something, there can be no authenticity in doing it. But wisdom of God says something different, that we can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting." Flannery O'Connor is a Catholic theologian, and she has a famous quote that in a world of the deaf, you have to shout. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I will say there have been times when I have said to my children, "If you do not put your stuff away, I'm going to throw your tablet in the trash." Do I intend on following through with that? Maybe, to be honest, I might. But the idea is to get their attention, right? They are not listening. They are not cleaning their room. They are not getting their clothes ready to get ready for school. And I have to say something to get their attention. And perhaps that is what God is doing today with Abraham. In fact, I read in a commentary that said God knew what Abraham would do, but he needed Abraham to know that Abraham would listen to God. And it is us today. We are not being called to go and sell all of our things and only do acts of charity and piety, but to live in such a way that is faithful, to seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. And as I was thinking about today, I was thinking about, you know, Good Neighbor Saturday is a new initiative here, just to get to know people in the community. And I think I read in a couple of weeks they're really in need of some volunteers. You could sing in the choir. I think there's some space for people who would like to be up there. Serving in the nursery, baking bread for visitors, or even coming to worship almost every week if you can, and we have online if you can't make it. But these little acts of obedience and response signify from us to God that we love God, that we would do anything. We would walk into a body of water with our most prized possession because of that rich and deep love that we have from God. And so I invite you today as you leave and as you're thinking throughout today and your week, like, what is God calling me to? What is something that I could do as an offering to God? Let us pray. God, it is an immense gift that you call to us, that you speak to us, and that we can speak to you, that you did not withhold your Son so that the penalty for our sin as a human people would be completely forgiven, and that we might live a new life in a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And so as we continue to reflect on your word and on this story and the experience of our hearts, help us to have eyes to see. Just like Abraham saw the ram caught in the thicket, help us to see what it is that you are calling us to do. Help us to have faith and courage and trust to continue our discipleship, to know that this will not be a quick experience and it will not always feel like it's making a difference, but yet, God, that you are strengthening us in our inner being to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.